Our title today is simply Some Thoughts on the Resurrection of Christ. Reading from 1 Corinthians 15 and 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also. Skeptics claim that the resurrection is a hoax and a myth. They would have a hard time convincing the women who went to the tomb of Christ and found it empty. An angel told them, "He's not here, he is risen." Perhaps their story could be dismissed as hysteria if it were not corroborated by so many other witnesses. Paul gives us a list of these witnesses in 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8. In addition to the women, Jesus had made appearances to Peter, James, all the apostles, and a group of 500 others. Last of all, he appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road as he was on his way to persecute the church. Each of these appearances was a life-changing experience to those involved. Peter, who had denied him, became his spokesman at Pentecost. The apostles, hiding behind closed doors, saw him suddenly appear and asked for something to eat. Thomas, the doubter, doubted no more. As he beheld the wounds in his hands and feet, he could only exclaim, "My Lord and my God." After seeing and hearing the risen Christ, these eyewitnesses were never the same. Over the course of 40 days, they listened intently as Jesus expounded on and gave commandments of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, Acts 1 and 3. They remembered his commandment to tarry in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father and were endued with power from on high, Luke 24:49, Acts 1 and 4. As they waited, they remembered his ascension. There he claimed all power of heaven and earth and commanded them to go and teach and baptize all nations, Matthew 28:19 and 20. They waited in Jerusalem for the fulfillment of this promise of power. They recalled Jesus saying, "The Spirit of truth is with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." John 14:17-18. They looked forward to receiving wells of water that would spring up to everlasting life, John 4:14. Jesus had promised spiritual water from which they would never thirst again, John 7:38-39. They longed for the indwelling Christ who would continue to teach them and bring all of his earthly commandments to their remembrance, John 14:26. After hearing Jesus teach at his ascension that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem, they spent a lot of time in the temple praising and magnifying God. 10 days later, when the feast of Pentecost had arrived, there were 120 of them gathered together in an upper room, Acts 2 and 4. The Holy Ghost suddenly descended on each of them, and they began to speak in languages that were totally unknown to them. A crowd assembled, composed of men from 16 nations who all understood the common language of the area as well as the languages of the lands of their birth. What sounded like gibberish to some was recognized by others as the speaking forth of the wonderful works of God, Acts 2 and 11. Peter, now transformed by the Spirit, stood and addressed the assembled crowd, some of whom were accusing the 120 of being drunk. Peter answered their charge by saying, in effect, "Yes, these men are indeed drunk, but not in the manner that you suppose. These men are drunk on God's Spirit as prophesied by the prophet Joel. Joel said that God would pour out his Spirit on his servants and handmaidens, causing them to prophesy. see visions, and dream dreams, preparing them to proclaim the day of the Lord with the promise that whosoever called on the name of the Lord would be saved. Joel 2:28-32. Peter, exercising his new resurrection power, continued preaching Jesus, whom they by wicked hands had crucified and slain. He no longer was in the grave because God had raised him up. He was now at the right hand of God because death couldn't hold him, just as their father David had prophesied in his Psalms, some of which are Psalms 16 and Psalms 22. Peter continued, "We are all witnesses of these events, and we have all received the promise of his Spirit. This Jesus whom you crucified is now Lord and Christ." Acts 2:32-36. To Jewish ears, that only meant one thing. They had crucified God in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 2:8. I'm sure that many in the crowd had witnessed Calvary. They didn't remember seeing any of these men who now spoke so boldly around the cross while Jesus was suffering. They were nowhere to be found. They had all fled and deserted the Lord as he hung on the cross. Well, they weren't fleeing now, nor would they ever do so until the day of their deaths. Acts 15:26. The crowd was pricked to the heart by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost and cried out, "What shall we do?" Scripture gives us the answer. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Yes, the promise is to all of us. Because he lives, we live also. John 14:19, Acts 17:28, 2 Corinthians 13:4, 2 Timothy 2:11. However, our lives will be radically different. Just like the apostles who had once fled, we'll stand in the face of opposition. Where we were once timid, we'll speak with boldness. Many of the first Christians gave their lives for the testimony of what they had seen and heard. The apostles never looked back. All but John were martyred. They were eyewitnesses who preached the resurrection to the ends of the earth and gave their lives in the process. Luke 1:2, 2 Peter 1:16. If all of these witnesses were to be examined in a court of law, there could only be one verdict, that the resurrection is fact and that Jesus reigns in heaven. He is coming again to judge the world, Acts 17:21. He desires to give us new life in his Spirit so that we and others who hear us will escape spending eternity in hell. We will all rejoice at the throne and spend eternity together with Jesus, all because of the resurrection. God bless you.